Hello, my friends. Welcome to our fourth group coaching call. Sorry, I'm a couple of minutes late. I'm just getting everything set up. All right, guys. As you are joining the call at any stage, make sure you say hello to me. Let me know who is here. You'll have to forgive me. I have a little bit of a head cold today. It's on the way out. I'm getting through it, but I'm a little congested. So if I sound nasally at any point, that is why. And I apologize about that. All right. So I have a big page of questions. My feeling is I'm just going to dive in. I'm just going to get started and just dive into the questions that we have. As you're joining me live on the call, say hi to me. Let me know who is here with me. And we can chat at different points. Last time on the call, I missed a couple of comments. It's funny with Facebook. Sometimes you don't always see the comments coming through, but I think I saw most of them. So yeah, you're welcome to interact with me, to let me know your thoughts and feelings on different things that I'm sharing as I'm talking, ask questions as I'm talking. And yeah, let's just dive in. I'm just getting my head working. Like I said, I've got a little bit of a head cold. I'm a bit nasally. So I'm just, yeah, trying to get myself to be awake. Let's go. Let's just dive in, shall we? Let's get started. Okay, question. Someone's feeling as they've come into module two, feeling completely shut down emotionally. I encouraged her to sit with it and really explore the resistance that was arising. Module two can create resistance. It's very likely that it will. I was turning my volume up. I'm hoping you guys can hear me and everything okay. Where am I? And as she began to explore the resistance and the shutdown feeling, she noticed it is, she said, it's very clearly a protective mechanism and something that I am doing to ensure that I am emotionally safe. And I said to her, the class three of this week, which you guys are in now, will be really helpful. So if you're having any physical resistance arise in the body, discomfort in the body, use class three of module two to be guided into the body, to feel it and be with it, because we can analyze it from the mind, but then we just stay separate to it. What we need to do is actually go into the body and feel our way through it, and that's how we shift and clear the energy. Sorry, I've got little bits of hair sticking to my lip balm. Someone outside yelping, they're excited. It's Thursday morning, last day of the working week here before Easter as well. All right, my other question is, this head cold, it's getting me. My question is, other than slowing down with the module one work, using affirmations and embracing my feelings of shutting down, what else can I do to practice achieving this, which I'm guessing she's meaning, how else can I find that emotional safety? I very much know I need to feel safe, but I'm not sure what to do with this feeling. So very much, there's a couple of things with feeling safe. It's base chakra. You're looking at feeling safe is base chakra stuff. It's about, we learn about safety in the world when we're children. And from a fundamental aspect, a fundamental perspective, safety is having my needs met, knowing I've got shelter, I've got food, I've got security, I've got love. Like, that's needed for a child to feel safe in the world. When we're talking about emotional safety, my sense is, and I don't know if this was the case, but perhaps you expressing your emotions and being highly emotional when you were young didn't feel safe. Sometimes sensitive children don't always have our emotions nurtured when we're younger, and so we actually shut them down, or we disconnect from them, or we begin to judge them. So it really is continuing the work of nurturing and supporting yourself through your own emotions, letting yourself be emotional. Feeling emotionally safe is about feeling safe in our own emotions, feeling safe when we feel highly emotional, rather than resisting those emotions or judging them or shutting down to them or analyzing them. It's our ability, as I've said so many times before, to hold space for ourselves in our most emotional times. I was just reflecting, this emotion that's been arising for me at the moment is anger. And for a lot of women, anger is an emotion that's difficult to hold and process, and we have a lot of judgment around it. And I was watching my resistance to holding space for my anger and how much I was like, I need to shift this anger. This isn't good and right. I should not be feeling this. I'm good with the sadness. Anger's an interesting one. But I've just been giving myself complete free rein to get as angry as I want, to rant and rave, to get it out of my system, to scream, to hit things, whatever I need to do to process that anger. And so that's how we feel safe, is we let ourselves be in that and we can hold ourselves through our own emotion. But yes, base chakra work is important if you have a fundamental feeling of not feeling safe. Grounding work, so grounding into the body, grounding through nature. We very much find safety by getting into the body. The mind is not an overly safe place to be, because for the mind to feel safe, it has to be able to control things, and it has to be able to predict, and it has to feel like it knows what's going on, you know, for the mind to feel safe. And that's difficult to achieve. The mind very rarely feels safe. But to feel safe in the body is to be really in the body and in the present moment and feeling the body as your home and as your anchoring place and as your place to come back to, and feeling your relationship with yourself as your place to come back to, as your comforting, soothing place to return to. So this literally is continuing the journey of you being able to hold space for your own emotions, sit in your own discomfort, not judge yourself or make yourself wrong if at any point different emotions are arising. And if you want to bring in some of the inner child work, which I think you had mentioned you're having some resistance to, oh, I'm getting the tickle to sneeze. Hopefully it doesn't come because my nose is quite blocked. See if you can bring in your child, your inner child, and maybe a simple practice with her is asking her, how are you feeling today? And maybe you just do a check-in with her each day. How are you feeling today? And maybe you just have 5 minutes to hold space for her to talk about her emotions, to talk out whatever is present for her today, even if it's joy, even if she's happy, even if everything's great, or maybe some stuff's coming up for her. So I think it's learning how to hold space for those emotions. You can do that through journaling as well, where you actually let yourself just fully offload whatever is present for you into your journal. And also daily check-ins with your own emotions. What emotions are present for me today? How am I feeling today? And not analyzing that, not judging that, but fully feeling that. And when you feel, like I said, really safe to hold your own emotions, the full spectrum of them, then there's no longer a need to shut down to them. But the shutting down comes from, and I was guiding a client through this exact process last night where she was feeling a real disconnect from a lot of pain she's holding in her body, emotional pain. And it was a very gentle thing. And all we did was just, like, through class three, I continued to guide her into the sensation she was feeling, continued to guide her to breathe through them, to be present with them, to just experience them. She didn't get all the way through it, but she got close. And you get closer every time you revisit it. Okay, so I hope that's helpful. Say hi to me, guys. Let me know who's here. I'd love to know who's on the call with me. I'm just going to keep moving through the questions because we have got quite a lot to get through today. Also, question, one of the problems I have with sitting quietly is that as hard as I try, it's not quiet in my mind. And so again, it's like this avoidance strategy. And that's exactly it. The mind gets noisy to pull you out of the body, to pull you out of the experience. Hi, Elizabeth. So lovely to see you here. Thanks for being here. However, this woman said that when I listen to Krishna Das, which is an artist, which she found on my Slow Down and Tune In Spotify playlist, she says, when I listen to that music, I feel as though my insides will vibrate outside of my skin. It is fantastic. And for me, it's a much more effective morning practice. Does this work effectively for the inner guidance? Absolutely. It is all about finding what works for you. If meditation doesn't work, if journaling doesn't work, find what does. And if there is just a certain vibration of a song, of music, and that's why I created the Slow Down and Tune In playlist, because the vibration of that music, it shifts you. I'm a very visceral person and I pick music based on how it makes me feel and how it moves the energy in my body. That's what's so powerful about it, about high vibrational music. So yes, if your morning practice, and same with audios, I listen to a lot of Abraham Hicks simply because the vibration of their message shifts the vibration of my body. It's like a tuning fork. You know, it shifts the vibrational resonance of, you know, I will come into vibrational alignment with that music or with that audio, with that conversation. So yeah, if that's your morning practice, if that's working super well for you, keep that, keep using that. And anything that raises your vibration, anything that connects you more deeply into your body, your energy, your feelings. Oh, I hate when my light clicks out like this. Come back. It suddenly goes dim when the light shifts here. Anything that anchors you into your body, makes you feel your energy, your emotions, will tune you into your inner guidance, because your inner guidance communicates through your energy, through your body, through your feelings. And an inner guidance is a higher vibration. So anytime you're shifting your vibration and feeling that elevation and that openness and that lightness, you're more likely then to get access to trains of thinking that are higher vibration. That's when you'll get the inspired idea, the inspired piece of guidance. That's when you'll hear the loving inner voice. So I really don't care what the practice is that you use. This really is a journey of you discovering through trial and error what works for you. A lot of the things I share may not work for you until you find, hi, Alicia, beautiful to see you, until you find what works for you. So if you found something that works, if that music really shifts your vibration, use that and continue to use that. And then maybe after that, as you're feeling that energy vibrating through your body, maybe that's when you can turn to your journal and tune in for guidance. Maybe that's when you can then open up more deeply to your body, because you're already in tune with it. And trust as well, the vibration of that music is helping you heal. Because as we raise our vibration, anything that's a denser, heavier vibration will start to need to shift out, because it can't stay. When your body's up here, anything that's heavy and stuck will start to have to vibrate out of your system. So maybe you're being guided to that because it's just naturally helping you heal the heavier emotions without you actually needing to even be aware of that. Beautiful, beautiful work. All right. Now the question, I'm firing through them, guys, because we've got a lot to get through. So I just trust that whatever I'm sharing will resonate. If at any point you have additional questions, comments on anything I'm sharing, please do interact with me. All right. This woman sent me her beautiful, honest, vulnerable question. I really honor her for this. She said last year she was under a lot of stress, including medical depression. And then while she was recovering from the stress and she lost a lot of her hair, she had to then take care of her dying father, all that weight on her on her shoulders. Half a year has passed since then, but I still feel very far from happy. I'm having health issues related to the stress, depressive thoughts, and I don't let myself be me. My primary goal right now is to get to a place of loving myself unconditionally. She's now said a month ago she moved to another country to stay with her husband, but she's on a visa. That means she can't work. She's staying at home a lot by herself, and she said this is really torturous for her mind. She's falling into patterns of fear-based thinking, very depressive thoughts, anxious thoughts. I'm looking for exercises to help me overcome this depressive state of mind, which I've never had before. She said she's looking at opportunities to get out of the house, volunteering opportunities, different things to fill up her schedule, because whenever she's just sitting around at home, she feels depressed and anxious. Okay, cool. We all get, not to discount what you're saying, but a lot of us do experience bouts of depression and anxiety at different times. So I want you to know that as much as this feels very intense and very long and very ingrained at the moment. You know, we're all encountering these feelings at different times. And so sometimes when we're in these depressive or anxious states, almost the mindset we have around it makes it worse, because we make ourselves wrong and we judge ourselves and we resist those feelings and we're like, I just want to get out of here. And let me just get my light back coming back in. I don't know if that's going to work. And we're actually, the judgment that we have on where we are and how we're feeling makes it worse. So first of all, one thing that can be supportive, and this might seem confronting, but is to do a bit of witnessing around, I'm really curious what the stories are that are going on in your mind that are either creating or intensifying the depressed, anxious feeling. And that will give you a bit of a deeper indication. So I'd encourage you to do some journaling. And this is where you literally like just pause and witness your thoughts. Witness the mind. Because depression and anxiety can come from a lot of different things. But one part of it is that we're telling ourselves some really unsupportive stories. And the emotions you're feeling in your body are arising as a result of whatever you're focusing on and thinking about and believing and telling yourself. So I want you to witness that a little bit more and actually really write out and get very honest about what is going on inside my mind at the moment. And when you can see that, and they may be stories, it's difficult for me to sense and know actually what's going on in there at the moment, but I'd be curious to know if you want to send me an email even around what you uncover. But that's going to be part of the shifting point, is how do I start to shift what I'm focusing on, what I'm telling myself, what I'm believing, and the repetitive thoughts that are going through my mind every day. That's going to be one place you can start to create a shift. If you can see that fear-based perspective, you mentioned fear-based thinking is playing out. If you can really see what fear is telling you, you know, so much of what I teach you in this course is, how do we call in love? Can we call in love? Can we consciously choose to see if there's a different train of thinking we can access about this situation? Can we ask for guidance? Anytime I feel stuck, I ask for guidance. And you may not have faith at the moment that there is guidance available for you, but I promise you there is. We are all being guided all the time. None of us are alone on this journey. And even if you come to your journal every day and you ask the question, you know, what do I need to know about this situation? What is one thing I can do to create a change here? What is one piece of guidance you can offer me to help me here? What is one way I can show unconditional love for myself today? What is one step I could take that would help me shift this energy? You know, what do I need to know about this situation? And if you can ask the question of what you most want to hear to your guidance, and then just take a breath into your body and just trust whatever comes and just start writing, you'll be amazed what answers actually flow through for you. I've taught a lot of my clients this exercise, and they always find really supportive things come through when you're willing to ask, not ask fear its perspective, but ask your inner guidance for a different perspective, for help. You know, I remember at my darkest times, I went a lot into prayer and surrender. And I'm not necessarily religious, but I pray to whatever higher energy is here supporting me through my life. And I would sit on my hands and knees and I would pray. And I would pray, show me what I need to know. Show me what I need to do. Show me how to shift this. Show me what else is possible for me beyond this. And I would pray every single day. And I think that element of hope and optimism is what is needed, because from my experience of depression, I've never been diagnosed, but I have fallen into very depressive states, is it's a feeling of hopelessness. It's a feeling of there's no hope whatsoever that things will ever be different. There's no hope that I can, there's no belief. It's very much a stuckness. It's like, I'm here and I'm going to be here forever and nothing's ever going to change. That's very much that feeling. So anything that creates a feeling of hope, we almost need a little ray of light to lift you up out of the darkness and see a little glimmer of possibility that things could be different. that there is some hope for you in your future. And the energy of optimism will help you here, will uplift you a little bit. So a couple of things. The other thing I've noticed around depression, the times that I've had it, is the times where I've not had any future vision, any purpose. You know that feeling where, and I've fallen into this sometimes, where you wake up and you're like, another day potentially of the same, another day potentially of nothing, another day where I feel like I'm treading water. That can be a very when we feel like we have something we're working towards, when we have a reason for being, a purpose, when we have a purpose, when we feel like there is a reason I'm waking up today, there is something I'm working towards, there is a reason I'm here. And that will help me feel like forward. They're the two things I feel like you need, an energy of moving forward and something to put your mind on that is future focused, that is a purpose, a vision, a goal, so that you wake up every day with a reason for being. Now that can be small as you want it to be, but my sense was, I don't know, I mean I know you started looking at opportunities outside of home. I would say definitely do that. Volunteering, you'd mentioned here, would be phenomenal, to know that you have a purpose, to know that you're contributing. Depression can be a state when we're very self-focused. When we pull ourselves out of ourself and we start looking at how we can contribute, how we can be of service, how we can create something meaningful in our lives, where we're making an impact, where people need us, where people want us, where we have a reason for being. That is very helpful for times of depression. So it may be at the moment difficult to come up with what is my purpose, what is a goal, what is a vision, but I want you to start to think about that. And that can be, yes, volunteering. That could be something you want to study. I wonder if there is a short course you could do that maybe is a 6-week course, a 12-week course, so that you know each week you've got something to look forward to and you're making progress. I was getting this sense about you studying something that would allow you to feel like there's forward momentum happening. You're moving forward. You're progressing on something. I think that is needed to pull you out of the stuckness of the monotony of your reality. So yeah, look at witnessing what are the current stories going on in your mind, using prayer and meditation to tune into your guidance and ask for help on this situation. Definitely look at ways to get out of the house. Move your body. Again, depression is a stagnant energy. We want to get that energy moving. Anytime I feel flat, if you dance, if you just play some high vibe music and dance around the house, if you go for a walk out, brisk walk outside, get that body moving, go for a run, that will help like get the energy moving in you. It will raise your vibration naturally. It will take you out of stagnancy and into a high vibrational state. So move your body, get your energy moving. Think about a purpose, a goal, a vision, something that you can work towards, something that will lift your mind up for a higher reason for being, something where you can contribute, something where you can be achieving a goal, taking steps, and yeah, get out and look at those volunteering opportunities to be around people. Anytime I feel depressed, the minute I get back around people, it helps. You know, we've got to get out of this story. Just hear other people's voices, hear other people's energy, get around other people's energy, and that will really help you move that stagnancy. I hope that helps, and thank you for your question. Okay. So this is something I really relate to personally. If you've heard me talk about my relationship with my family, and I may actually do a whole podcast around this because it's been a huge part of my journey and I've made huge progress in it as a practice. Okay, so this woman comes from a family where family is everything as part of her culture, and where if we could be with each other 24/7, we would. But something is shifting in her. And she's feeling like, as much as she's grown up with this mentality of family is everything, we're all so close, we all do everything for each other and with each other, in herself, She's feeling like, I no longer want to feel that I'm required to spend all my time and energy with my family. I want to distance myself a little bit. I want to focus more on myself to grow deeper within myself. But she's feeling terrible around that. She's having some guilt because she feels so blessed to have her family. But they're wanting different things. She's saying, you know, my family have a different way of seeing the world. They want different things, different visions. Whereas I have these aspirations to see the world and create this beautiful career, you know, and that's so natural. Like when you go on a journey of growth, no matter what that growth looks like, it's going to be uncomfortable at different times because you're going to fall out of alignment with old realities, old structures, old people. Family being one of them. When you grow up in a family, the reason everyone's so similar is because we're all learning from each other. We're all picking up each other's energies. We're modeling each other. And a big part of who we are becomes shaped by our environment and by the people who are most important to us. So it's natural that we're all very similar and in resonance, right? Again, I was talking to a client about this recently, actually, now that I think about it. But when we then go on our own personal growth journey, and we awaken different parts of ourselves and we really hear our own truth, we are shifting a little bit. We're being less of who we've come to be as a result of our family, and we're becoming more of our true essence, which is maybe different to our family. This is the same if you become different to your friendship group, different to a partner that you've been with for a really long time. It's all part of what happens. But this woman's feeling challenged. She's like, is it okay for me to want to distance myself from my family, even though I have a loving family? How do I overcome the feeling of being the black sheep? How do I stand comfortably on my own? I just want to walk my own path and not feel bad about it. Totally. Let me just again see if I can get my light coming in a little bit. I just like it when it's a bit, it's not going to stay anyway. It just distracts me when it's, I can see it's gone dim. Okay, first of all, this is part of walking our truth in life, is that sometimes we will walk a different path to other people and to people that we love and to people that we want to feel connected to. And so we feel held back because we're afraid that if we walk more of our own path, we'll have a disconnect from those people that we really love and really cherish. But I guess the thing to keep in mind is, one, if you have awakened that inner call in you enough to know now that it's so strong that you know what you want, you know what that inner guidance is telling you, you've awakened that truth, you can't turn your back on it now. You know you can't. And every time you try to turn your back on it, it feels painful. So you sort of have no choice now but to keep trusting that and following it forward. You know very clearly what your truth is and how you want to be living, and it is going to be your work to keep trusting in that guidance. At the same time, you're going to be processing a lot of emotion that's getting triggered around your old belief systems, around what your role is in your family, and what you feel being a good family member looks like, and what you have learned that giving love looks like. So you're having to deconstruct now some old models and some old belief systems around what you've learned about who you should be in your family. And almost what needs to happen is a new story. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't have a relationship with your family, that you don't still show love for them, that you distance yourself completely. But there is a change in the dynamic that needs to happen, and that's going to be uncomfortable. And so part of this is just knowing that there's going to be a lot of emotion arising, and we process that emotion, the guilt, the discomfort, the pain, the heartache, the separation of that. So we need to know just how to, we just have to process that. We just have to feel that, but not let that discomfort be a reason to default back to the old pattern. Because that's the thing, most of us don't want to feel discomfort so much that the minute discomfort arises, we're like, oh, I need to go back to my old pattern so that I don't feel uncomfortable anymore. No, the work is you stay in the new way of being you want to practice, and then you just feel like, oh, that doesn't feel, it's not that it doesn't feel good, it just feels uncomfortable. It feels like, oh, I feel so good, like listening to my inner voice, but I have a bit of guilt. Okay, let me just breathe through that. But with family, and I had to go through this, and it was really difficult when I consciously wanted to create a different role in my family. So my past role in the family was everyone just came to me to fix everything. My parents came to me to be like the fixer, the counselor of everything. My sisters looked to me like I was the fixer of everything. And I had to take myself out of the family for a while. And as I did, their roles adjusted. My dad stepped back up. Everyone else became much more independent now because they no longer could depend on me to play that role. And I had to create a new role in my family, which had this growing pain adjustment period. It was pretty uncomfortable. My dad was pretty hurt by it for a while. It really broke his heart that I created some separation, but I had to do it. I was suffocating in that family. And creating the distance for myself to be free and forge my own path was the best thing I ever did for myself. And look, it's enabled me to reframe my relationship with family and understand that we are all here to walk our own path. We are all here to be somewhat selfish. We're not here to be in codependent relationships. We're not here to caretake other people's emotions. Your well-being is not my responsibility. Your happiness is not my responsibility. My job is to be my happiest, most loving, most vibrant, most empowered self. Because when I do that, I'm a better sister, partner, daughter, friend to everyone else. Not to self-sacrifice so that I can be who you want me to be, so that you can be happy and I can just resent you. We've got this really messed up dynamic around family. And I'm starting to see family as we are all independent. Yes, we came together in a family to support each other through our life, but we're also allowed to all be independent and different. And black sheep is not a bad thing. Like, you got judgment on that. There's nothing wrong with being different to your family. You are here to be your own free-spirited sovereign soul. Like, you, and that's the path you're destined to walk. So what I'd encourage you to do is journal about what is this new dynamic you want to create with your family? What is the new role you want to play? And, you know, really write it out. So, you know, for me, it's like I want to be a supporter, and I want to show that I care about my family. Like, you still love them. I'm still so devoted to my family, but I'm not on speed dial for the every single minute you have a problem. And so the way that I've done that is I just take a while to reply to people. It's really funny how when people are feeling something, they just go blah and they send, say, a message or something. And then if you get back to them at the end of the day, they'll be like, oh, don't worry about it, I already sorted it out. So if you actually don't reply immediately, people then realize, oh, maybe I just need to figure this out myself. And then it takes the pressure off you and they start figuring out how to sort it out themselves. This is, for example, with my sister. My sister's setting up a business. And oh my gosh, I'm getting Facebook Messenger. Sorry, I'm getting nasally. I've got a head cold. I'm just starting to sound a little bit croaky now. I'm getting Facebook Messenger things like 50 times a day from my sister. Connie, how do I do this? How do I get more sales? What do I do on Instagram? What do you think about this branding? What do you think? And I'm just like, oh, babe, like, you need to think for yourself. Like, I'm running my own business as well. And so sometimes it just takes me a while to get back to her. And I'll find that if I don't get back to her to the end of the day, she'll be like, oh, don't worry, I already figured it out. So when you actually don't just go and be there for everyone the minute they need you, you empower them to go and figure things out for themselves. You empower them to have to work through their own emotions without you being there to be the solution for them. So yeah, decide now what you want this different dynamic to be. So for me, it's I'm still here for you 100%, but I'm not on speed dial. And you may not hear back from me right away. And I'll get back to you when I have the time. That's a boundary that I put in with my family, and it's worked really well. Another boundary, and this may not be your family dynamic, but I'll just share an example with me. The issue I had with my mom years ago was that my mom would just offload negative stuff all the time and would just complain about her life. And then, you know, me being the coach that I am, I'd want to give her constructive things to what to, you know, how to help her. But she wasn't interested in helping. She just wanted to offload. She just wanted to complain. And you know what? I just don't have time for that shit. Like, I don't have time for people that will sit in their drama and complain and not be open to receiving support or guidance, or maybe they don't even want support or guidance, but who are not willing to then create a change around it, who just want to sit in victim mentality. I have no time for that. And so I got to a point with my mom, and this was part of our boundary of me redefining our relationship, because for a while my relationship was, I'm your counselor. And I wanted to change the relationship so that it was, I am your daughter. You are my mom. You are my support person, not I'm your support person. So understand, with every relationship, the reason I'm telling you this story is you can change the role. I want you to consciously choose what you want your role in the family to be, and how you want to show your family who you are now. And you teach them that through your actions and your responses. And they will learn in time, oh, this is who she is now. So with my mom, I had some pretty direct, hardcore conversations where I would start to say to her, Mom, every time you and I talk, I'm your counselor and I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of you complaining to me all the time. I said, I need you to be my mom. I need you to support me. You never ask me about what's going on for me. And I said to her, if I get on the phone with you and you're just going to complain, I'm going to hang up. I said, I don't have time for negative conversation. How about when you call me because you've got something constructive to say. And so we got to this interesting point, and this was really hard for me, where I started hanging up on her. When she would be on a negative rant, I'd just hang up. And over time, she kind of learned that that wasn't going to work anymore. And so we now are in this dynamic where Mum shares with me things that are going on, interesting things going on in her life. If she gets too negative, she knows that I'm not interested and she'll apologize. She'll be like, oh, sorry, Connie. Okay, I better go now. And she'll jump off the phone. And we also flipped it where I started saying to her when I'd come on the phone, I've got something going on for me. I need you to listen to me. Can you help me? I had to start asking for her to be a mom to me. I had to teach her how to do that. And now our whole relationship is Mom spends a lot of time listening to me and what's going on for me. So I know I'm harped on about this a bit, but you can change your dynamic. So write out now what you want this to look like. What is a new way you want to show love to your family? And what boundaries do you need to put in place? How do you need to speak your truth so that they now understand you're going to be a bit different in the family? And if they are questioning you, being like, why aren't you here doing this with us? You can say, look, you know, this thing's really important to me. I'm now putting energy into this. You know, I'm going to be working on this all day. I'll give you a call back at night, you know, this evening tonight, or I'm not going to be as available to come to these family events because I'm working on this. Like, communicate your truth and put in the boundaries. And then in time, your family will come to understand that you're different now and they just have to adjust to that. Mm-hmm. I hope that's kind of answered your question for you. But also just look at what you have decided you need to be in order to be good. And, you know, sometimes we've just got to sit with the discomfort of at times disappointing people. And not being, you know, what everyone else wants, but actually really listening to ourselves. All right, how am I going for time? Okay. Connie, can you please talk about boundaries in romantic relationships? So we've been talking about relationships already. How do we stay true to them? These are not easy to implement. Oh, Alicia, I'm so glad. Beautiful, hun. I'm really, really glad that was helpful for you. Thank you for the feedback. Okay, sorry. I'm losing my train of thought now because I was just thinking about my sinuses are feeling so congested. Can we talk about boundaries in romantic relationships? How do we stay true to them? Okay. When it comes to boundaries, similar to what I was touching on before, this needs to start off as a very conscious practice because boundaries are difficult to implement and they require a lot of conscious work. particularly when there's emotional hooks in relationships with family or with partners. I have so many times set boundaries with ex-partners because I have a lot of exes that always seem to come back in, and I've struggled, like it's my biggest weak spot is when an ex comes back in wanting my attention. Biggest weak spot. But I've had to make it a really conscious practice to be like, right, what is the boundary? What does this boundary look like? Let me get really clear and conscious about this. So maybe write it out. Maybe look at the places where you can see boundaries need to be implemented. So for example, for me, let me think of an example. Well, one very clear boundary that I've implemented with one of my exes is that I don't see him, and I've told him that I'm not going to see him again and that we're not going to have a friendship because I just know there's too much attraction between us and it always gets really messy. I can handle the occasional text message and that's okay, but I did say very clearly to him, we're not going to see each other again and we can't see each other even as friends, because he was all like, let's be friends, let's hang out, and I was like, no. So that was a boundary I had to consciously, very clearly put in place. I communicated it to him and I said, this is my boundary. This is what's going to happen. And then I've had to stick to that. Now, first of all, so you're clear, what's the boundary? Then, you know, another boundary is with some exes, I'm like, we just don't communicate at all. Plain and simple. I unfollow you on Facebook. I block you on Instagram so I can't view your account. I delete your number from my phone and that's it. I've made the decision. We're not actually in contact at all. You need to actually make a conscious decision. What is the boundary I want to implement here? What does that look like? How will I implement that? Write it out. Then you're going to be presented with the opportunity to implement the boundary. And you're going to get tested and it's going to be really hard. I'm actually working on a lot of boundary stuff in my work at the moment. And, you know, for example, just really small example, I said that I've taken my last intake of one-on-one coaching clients in January, which I did, and I'm completely booked out now until June. But I've had women contacting me over the past couple of months saying, Connie, I really want to work with you. I feel like you're my coach. I need to work with you. Please, like, can you let me know when I can come into your books? And I've noticed in myself being like, I could open up a space. I could make room for them, you know, da, da, da. But that would be breaking the boundary. The very clear decision I made in January that I was not going to take on new clients until mid-year, until I assessed what I wanted to do with my coaching program. So I've been very tempted to break that boundary. And I've watched the justification. So you'll watch your mind try to convince you why it's okay to break the boundary, why it's harmless. It's very important to witness this. But if you can feel in your body, and I've done this with my work and I've done this with people, with the men, really feel in your body, how would I feel if I broke this boundary? And you may initially feel good, because usually it will give you some hit of something that you're wanting. Maybe for me, a hit of money. Maybe for me, a hit of feeling like successful. Maybe from a guy, a hit of attention. But you know, long term, it's not going to support you. So if you can feel into the energy of the long term repercussions of breaking that boundary, that's a good thing to sit with. I often sit with that in my body and I'm like, I know right now, like I've even been tempted. One of my exes has started following me on Instagram and watching all my stories, and I felt myself tempted to reach out to him, just be like, hey, how are you going? And touch base. And I've really been working through that because I've made the conscious choice to not initiate conversation with him. If he contacts me, I'll be polite, but I've made the choice to not initiate. So I'm really sitting with it. And I've noticed that if I break the boundary, there'll be that initial hit of connection. But I've asked myself, but Connie, long term, is this going to give you anything that you want? And long term, how are you going to feel? And it's going to be a setback. It's not going to be supportive. And then if I'm wanting a short-term hit of an emotion, which is usually what we want by breaking a boundary, we want a little bit of connection. We want a little bit of love. We want a little bit of the money. We want a little bit of the attention, whatever it is. That's when we need to say, okay, what am I seeking through this interaction, through overstepping this boundary that I've put in place? Well, I'm wanting to feel loved, validated, connected, get attention, you know, have sex. Sometimes we just want affection, so we, you know, go and sleep with an ex when we know we shouldn't, all those things. When you get really honest, what am I seeking through this? And then that is the work then, when we go, okay, and this is what I've noticed in myself. A little hit of feeling wanted, feeling desired, connection. Is there any other way I can create that feeling or experience that feeling? And that's when I'll reach out to a girlfriend instead and be like, hey, babe, let's catch up for a walk. Let's catch up for a chat. And I'm realizing that if I can meet that need for connection, for love, for support, through for conversation, through a more supportive way, it will take my attention off needing to meet it through that person. So that's how I sort of feel we implement that, and we need to make it a very conscious practice. When it's unconscious, you'll just break the boundary and then come back later and be like, shit, I did it again. So it needs to be really, really conscious and journal about it and write out that whole process of what's going on. And then this woman's asked, you know, which is sort of just what I was touching on, which is like, well, how do we then feel the feelings within ourselves rather than seeking them externally? And the first thing is to recognize, okay, look at me seeking externally again. You know, even that's a first point of awareness. When you catch yourself in an external seeking pattern, it's actually really supportive to be able to witness that. Okay, and you witness that, you have compassion for yourself, and you're like, oh, and it's like, you know, when you have a food craving, and you're consciously saying, oh my God, I'm so craving like chocolate, but I consciously had chosen that I wasn't going to eat chocolate. I describe one of my exes as my peanut butter, because like I have this thing for peanut butter. I love it. And the minutes in the house, I just want to eat the whole jar. So I just can't buy peanut butter. I just can't buy it. So I call my ex like my peanut butter guy, because he's like, I can't have him in my life because then I'm just going to want to eat him all up. You know, I have no self-discipline around him. Same with peanut butter. I have no self-discipline with that stuff. So I just don't buy it. It's just not wise for me to buy that stuff. But you know, you still feel the yearning for it, don't you? You still feel the craving. You feel your stomach gnawing for it. You feel your body being like, oh, I just really want that hit of that sugar or that fat or that sweetness or that person. So you witness that and you feel the discomfort of not being able to meet that right away. And look, meeting our own needs is a harder process, and it takes a lot of learning of yourself to really know what does hit the spot for you. Sometimes it's a compromise. Like I said, I might still seek externally, but in a healthier way. So like I said, rather than seeking attention through my ex, I might seek it through a friend, so, or my family. So it's still sort of me reaching out, but in a much healthier way. Or I may not buy the peanut butter, but I might go down the street and get a little healthy, like Bounty Bliss bar that, you know, I know they make them with like all natural sugar and raw cacao and good quality coconut. And that might be my compromise. You know, I'm still getting my little external hit, but in a much healthier way. So you can still at times use external things to help you, but maybe they're just healthier choices or more supportive choices. You know, for example, if I'm craving touch, sometimes I like to be around, there's an ex of mine who I hang out with sometimes because he's very affectionate and I love being touched. It's like, okay, well, if I'm craving touch, why don't you go get a massage and get someone to give you a good massage for half an hour and meet your need to be touched, and then you don't have to get it from your ex. So you can still meet it externally, but in healthier ways. But also, you know, this is our journey of like, how do I feel the feelings I want to feel? And that's your journey of self-discovery and really getting to know what works for you, what makes you feel good. And it's just like, you know, how do I show love for myself in this moment? And it's anything. I do it through cooking dinner for myself. I do it through giving myself a coconut body oil massage, through sitting down with my oracle cards, through dancing, through, you know, going for a nature walk, through anything that feels good to me. I just find anytime I'm filling myself up with something that just makes me feel good, I am soothing myself emotionally. It's as simple as that. And I know that sounds really simple. And I know you might be like, oh, well, that's not, I don't know if that's the answer you want to hear, but I think that's the work. It's just really, really know everything that makes you feel good. And then just consciously choose to put time and energy into those things that make you feel good. And you fill yourself up with good feelings. Then you don't feel as empty and deprived. And then you don't need it from the other person. You know, I'm also, and I don't talk about this much in my work because there's a lot of other women that teach this stuff. But for women, I am also all for self-pleasure. If you're a single woman, have a self-pleasure practice, even if you're in a relationship. Know how to touch your own body in a sensual and sexual way so that you can experience pleasure in your own body and good feeling feelings. You know, I used to feel really weird around having a personal self-pleasure practice, but it is a huge part of my self-care because it creates pleasure in my body. It creates self-connection and self-love. It fills me up. It makes me feel sexy and radiant. And then I don't need a man's attention to make me feel that way. There's a lot of things you can do for yourself that make you feel good. So that's what I would sort of focus on with that. And how do you work through the things that come up for you when you're single and you want to meet a partner? Again, build a great relationship with yourself, like really good relationship with yourself, and get really honest. And I very often ask my clients this question. Tell me about your relationship with yourself. What is it like? What is it like? And a lot of them are like, I don't know. I've never thought about the fact that I have a relationship with myself. Actually, I think our next class is all about how to build a loving relationship with yourself. I think class 4 is about that. Like, really look at what does it mean to be in a good relationship? Well, it means that, you know, really think about what do you want from a partner? Do you want someone that listens to your problems and supports you emotionally? Do you want someone that asks you how your day was and checks in with you? Do you want someone who's physically affectionate? Do you want someone that buys you gifts? Do you want someone that takes you special places? And whatever it is that you're wanting, you can do that for yourself. Take yourself on dates. Take yourself out for brunch and breakfast. Take yourself out for dinner. Take yourself to the movies. If you are a gift person, buy yourself beautiful things. I buy myself a lot of beautiful stuff. Most of my money either goes on healthy food or buying myself really pretty, beautiful things like a $50 candle because it makes me happy, like new plants for my home. That's me showing love for myself. If physical touch is important to you, like me, a daily body massage for me really makes me feel loved by myself. Little check-ins and acknowledging yourself. I have even begun practicing like sitting down and just acknowledging myself, being like, Con, well done. I'm really proud of you for this. I'll do a bit of mirror work, like chatting with myself, because conversation in a relationship is very important to me. So I talk to myself then. If I can't talk to my partner, I'll sit down and look in the mirror and I talk out things. I'm like, how was your day? How did you feel about today? I'm really proud of you for this. I know this came up for you. How do we feel about that? And I like talk to myself like I'm in a relationship with myself. So when you're single, your key is to not grumble about being single. It's not a negative thing. You can still experience deep love and intimacy. My friendships with my girlfriends are like intimate, loving relationships. We're affectionate. We tell each other that we love each other. We sit really close when we're near each other. We kiss each other on the cheek, like we're close. Build romantic relationships with your friends. You can do that. But the biggest thing is you want to call in a partner from a place of fullness, not from a place of emptiness and not from a place of need. So the more that you can feel full, feel in love with yourself, feel in love with your life, be a woman on purpose, you know, be so busy just getting on with your own life, doing awesome shit in the world, creating something really cool that he's just going to be magnetized towards you. You're not going to be sitting around lonely being like, where's my partner? I need a man. Because that's going to be repelling for him. If he comes in to your life and he's like, oh, she's not really got anything going on except me, he's going to feel the pressure of needing to be everything for you, and he's not going to want to do that. But if you're like so busy doing your own life, he's like, oh, how do I get into her calendar? How do I see her? You know, and whenever you catch up with him, you're telling him about all the things you're so excited about in your life that you're working on and you're doing. He's like, this is a girl I want to be around, a woman. He's like, she's awesome. She's high vibing. She's happy. She's confident. She's like got good things going on in her life. She enjoys my company, but she doesn't need me because men still want to feel freedom. They don't like feeling like you're attached to them. They want freedom. And so it's refreshing for a man when he can see not that she's so independent that she doesn't need him, but that she's fulfilled and happy in her own life. And then he can just come in and enjoy that, you know? So that's important when you're single. I'm glad that resonates, Elizabeth. This is my practice. I've been single for a while and all I've just been doing is just being like, how awesome can I be as being Connie? How awesome can I make my life? How excited and fired up can I get about my life? How in love can I be with my friendships? How can I fall in deeper love with myself? That's my work. And then, and to call him in from a place of fullness of like, now I want to share this with you versus I need you to fill a void in my life. Last question. How do you protect yourself from picking up other people's energy? I tend to pick up energies quickly. I was talking to this about with a client the other day. You guys are mirroring my client conversations. Do energetic protective work. If you're going into an environment where you know you will pick up on energy and where you know there'll be intense energies around, imagine yourself in a force field of energy every day. Call in the angels to protect you. Wrap yourself up in golden loving light, pink light, whatever the light is, purple light. Create a shield around your core chakra energy centers where you might feel that energy gets pulled from you. And imagine that. And if at any point you're interacting with someone who you feel has a heavy energy or a draining energy, just imagine that force field coming up. I often do it in my coaching sessions, actually. I'm often imagining a big energetic wall up. If I can feel like someone's energy is quite heavy and I might be taking it on, I will put up my energetic force field. And I imagine their energy bouncing off it back onto them. So you can just be sending the energy back to them. And also before you put yourself in any situation, do the work to get really grounded and anchored in your own energy. Because when we're not in our body and we're not anchored in our power center, we're more likely, our energy is more likely to get pulled out. So our work is to be very deeply embodied, very deeply grounded, very anchored before we go and be with people. So that will be your work behind the scenes to really come into your lower chakras, to come into connection with the earth, to make sure you're really in your body, in your own power, in your own energy, wrap yourself up in protective energy and move through the world, imagining other people's energy just bouncing off you, not being able to permeate. And oh God, just had a notification that scared me. And my kinesiologist has often told me to use the phrase return to sender. So if I feel like someone else's energy has come in, she's like, just say out loud, return to sender, like you're sending it back to them. This is not mine, return to sender, I'm sending it back to you. You can do a little, you can use sage or Palo Santo at the end of the day. I do this after coaching sessions to cleanse the space. And I just say out loud, I am now clearing out any energy that does not belong to Connie, any energy of this person. I am now sending back to them. I'm clearing the space. I'm resetting the energy. And I just say these intentions out loud. You might sage yourself, use white sage or Palo Santo and whoosh it around yourself and might say out loud, I'm now clearing out any energy of this particular person or of anyone else's energy that I picked up today. My energy center is now clear, clean, realigned. I'm re-anchoring my own power. No one else's energy is in here. And you might just say that out loud as you whoosh a little bit of sage around you. I find that really helpful. Final question. Whew, that's a lot of talking. I feel like I barely took a breath. When things get in the way you want, but then everything becomes bigger and bigger. Your dreams need practical actions. How do you support yourself? Because I love creating the life I feel called to create, but it's scary. Oh, I'm hitting a bit of a wall. Where's my light gone? Come back, light. I've lost it. It's all dark now. What's going on here? Sorry, it's gone really dark now, maybe because this, there we go, it's a bit better. How do you support yourself to take the practical actions that feel really big? You sort of just ease into them. And oh, I don't know. I mean, like, it's difficult to give guidance on this. You sort of just take them. And they're going to be really uncomfortable and scary. And you sort of just have to take them. Maybe do a bit of energetic work beforehand. So I find before I'm about to take a big step, I pre-pave it with energy work. So energy work meaning I might imagine myself in my mind's eye doing it. I might align my energy with that new step so that I'm actually expanding my on my energy first so that it feels like I'm the person who would take that action. You might do some journaling just to process the fear. You might dance through the fear if the fear is really intense. Yeah, sometimes I do a bit of energy work in the lead up to actually taking the action so that I'm processing both the fear, but then I'm working to align my thoughts, my intentions, my state of being with the person who can take that action. And I play around in my mind's eye with what it looks like to take that action. I imagine myself taking it. I imagine myself feeling the fear, but still showing up anyway. Picture it in your mind a few times. So you're actually, that's you energetically pre-paving and energetically aligning with that step. So it doesn't feel like such a leap. Because if you're energetically down here in fear, but that step, is all about empowerment, it's going to feel like a big step. But if you work on bringing your energy into a higher space where you feel more confident, more self-loving, more trusting, more aligned with your guidance, and then you've got this step here that's like empowerment or expansion, you're a bit closer to it. It doesn't feel like such a stretch because you're already sort of the person who's aligned with that step. So yeah, it's difficult to take big expansive steps when we're energetically down here in fear. So sometimes we have to do the energy work to, and think about those things that raise your vibes, that make you feel more confident, more expansive, more empowered. Spend a bit of time working on getting your energy into good space so that the gap between where your energy is and where the action is isn't as big. I hope that makes sense, but that's a big part of what I do is the energy alignment work beforehand. Okay, guys. Whew, this head cold that I have is starting to really get me. So I need to jump off the computer. Sending you all lots of love. I hope that was supportive for you. Thank you for those of you who are here with me live. We're in our final week next week of module two, and then we turn into module three. Module three will have a lighter energy to it. It will be a bit more focused on inner guidance and heart energy and love and empowerment. So do trust that the energy is going to shift soon. I know we've come into a deeper place in module two, but we'll be shifting out of that shortly. Sending you all lots of love. Thank you for being here on the journey, and I hope this call was supportive for you. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye.